Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. On this program, we hear from leaders and innovators in arts and culture in Waco, Texas. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at Creative Waco, which is a nonprofit that exists to grow and support the arts in our community. Today, we'll be chatting with Jill Barrow, who's the Interim Director of Historic Waco Foundation, and Cuevas Peacock, who's a community organizer with Grassroots Waco. They're both involved with the community consultation group at Historic Waco Foundation and will share how a number of community leaders are working together to help the foundation tell a more complete history of Waco. But before we hear from those guys, Fiona Bond is back on the show to talk about how you can keep your Christmas shopping local. Thanks for being here, Fiona.
Hey, thanks for having me on. We are in the run-up to Christmas. And Ray, I don't know about you, but I have some friends and family members who are just really tricky to buy gifts for. And there are some really great options out there this year for people to buy arts-based gifts. And of course, when you buy local, when you buy from a local business or a local artist, that money goes right back into our own economy. And so it actually creates this cascade effect that benefits our entire community.
Definitely.
So we really want to encourage people to do that this year. So you can find original artwork, jewelry, ceramics, crafts all over our downtown area. And if you're not sure where to start, the Creative Waco webpage has a creative directory, which lists all the places in Waco that sell original artwork, crafts, jewelry, ceramics, that kind of thing. And that's a really great place to start and figure out where you might want to purchase gifts. It also lists all of the performing arts options in Waco. And I really think that tickets to the Civic Theater or to Waco Symphony's Christmas productions make really fantastic gifts.
Yeah, I love the idea of giving season tickets and things like that. It's a really unique sort
Absolutely. Especially for someone that seems to have everything they need. Giving an experience like that is a really fantastic option. This year, for the very first time, the Professional Artists of Central Texas, who are a group of artists that exhibit and sell their work primarily outside Waco, but live in Waco, they've teamed up with Hilton Waco and with the Waco Symphony to bring some of the most collectible artists from across the whole of Texas to Waco. They are going to have this amazing exhibition at the Hilton Waco from the 9th to the 11th of November. The event is called the Brazos Fine Arts Show. And on the evening of November the 9th, they have a VIP gala event with Chef Nate's hors d'oeuvres, artisanal cheeses from Texas Cheese House, champagne and wines, and David Smith, who does our David and Art segment at KWBU, will be talking about how and why to collect art.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So if you're looking for some gift inspiration, that's a really fabulous event to start. And plus, it makes a great date night, too. And then the other category of people that I find really tricky to buy for is teachers and work colleagues. Mm-hmm. And so I was just going to give a heads up that the Waco 52 playing cards, which retail at $19.99, are available throughout Waco. And they make a really great gift for teachers, for colleagues, anyone who loves Waco, really, and stocking fillers. They're being sold at Common Grounds, Dr. Pepper Museum, the Mayborn, Interior Glow, Bolt Boutique, Christie's, and Cultivate 712.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And those playing cards feature 52 different works from local artists, which is, of course, a great way to support the arts that we have here in Waco and to give a really cool, unique gift. So thank you so much, Fiona. All of that information will be available on our blog at creativewaco.org/blog. Be sure to include links to all of those different products and the different events that we have coming up. That'll be a great opportunity to find some good gifts. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. I'm here with Historic Waco Foundation Interim Director Jill Barrow and Grassroots Waco Community Organizer Cuevas Peacock. They're both involved with an ongoing community consultation group that's helping Historic Waco Foundation reach its goal of telling a more complete history of Waco. Thank you, Jill and Cuevas, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Traditionally, Conversations is a program that focuses specifically on the work that's being done within the arts community. However, I believe that this project is sparking a really important conversation about the way that we interact with diverse cultures and the history of Waco. I think that the reevaluation of the way that we tell history will open up the door for more types of art from different cultures in Waco to be able to be told and to be showcased here. So I'm really glad that you guys are here today. Jill, let's start off with you. Would you mind telling us a little bit about how long Historic Waco Foundation has been around and what its representation has looked like in the community?
Historic Waco has been around since 1967. At that time, three entities joined together, the Waco Society for the Historic Preservation, Waco Heritage Society, and then they were spearheaded by Waco Perpetual Growth. And they incorporated in 1967, so we just last year celebrated our 50th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really exciting. So can you talk about what the purpose of the organization was?
The mission from the very beginning has always been to present and preserve the history of Waco and McLennan County. And that's what we have tried to do. Unfortunately, our focus has been very limited in that we just focused on the four historic homes that Historic Waco has and only told the stories of those people who lived in those homes and the stories of those homes. But there's so much more to history that we need to be telling.
Yeah, definitely. So Cuevas, as somebody who isn't part of Historic Waco Foundation, can you talk a little bit about how you or others that you know may have perceived the work that's been done by the foundation so far?
So Historic Waco Foundation has a long history, a 50-year history of doing things that can bring the history of Waco to the forefront of telling the stories, of homes and places and of people who have made Waco a great place, a great community for us all. However, from my experience here in Waco and listening to others in the community, their history has been limited. The history that has been shared has been focused on the homes and the people of those homes. And Waco has so much more to offer than that, so much more history to that. And so that has been my understanding of the foundation thus far. And I'm just excited to know that they are trying to expand that particular focus going forward.
Sure. That's awesome. So you're with Grassroots Waco. Can you just give us a really brief summary of kind of the work that you guys do and how that might play into, your involvement with the work that Historic Waco Foundation is doing right now?
Yes. So I'm a community organizer with Grassroots, and it's really about going out, listening and learning and identifying what make Waco ticks. What is at the heart of the Wacoans that we interact with and how together we can move our communities forward. And so I think it really intersects with Historic Waco Foundation because it's all about what they're passionate about and what really drives them and their purpose. And with anything we do in life, we have to have a good understanding of our history to understand where we're going forward. And so Historic Waco Foundation and Grassroots can intersect in a way that as people get to know more about their history and about how Waco has come to be, it can help determine where they want to grow it in the future.
Cool. Awesome. Joe, why do you think that a limited history of Waco has been told so far?
We used the resources we had, which were the homes.
Okay.
And the people that lived in those homes, the forts, the McCulloughs and the Caldwells before them, the Earls, the Napiers, the Kennards, the Manns. Those families were very influential when Waco was young, when Waco was beginning to be a town and then to be a city. These people were the movers and shakers of their time. They were the ones who were the bank presidents, the businessmen, the doctors, the lawyers. And we got into the habit of just limiting ourselves to those families. And that did become very limited because we then were only talking about a particular time period, and that's the time period of the late 1800s. And yet there were people of those families lived in those houses up until the 1950s and 1970s, mm-hmm. and we should have continued telling the stories not only of those families, but the extended families, their businesses, up until, we should not have limited ourselves, but we did.
Sure. And can you talk a little bit about the houses right now, how they're being used and how the public is able to interact with them at this moment?
At this point, there are three that are open to the public, two that are open 6 days a week, and that's Earl Napier Kennard and East Terrace. They're open Tuesday through Friday, from 10 until 4. And then all three houses, McCullough, ENK, Earl Napier Kennard, and East Terrace, are open Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays from 10 to 4 and Sundays 1 to 4. McCullough is also open for, you can rent McCullough at any time for small groups. We have a big group coming in this Friday from Fort Worth, and they're going to be, they have a luncheon at the house, which cool. is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it is available for rentals.
Okay. And so are most people just like doing tours and stuff of the spaces?
We have tours. Then we have special events that take okay. place in the homes too.
Okay, cool. So can you talk about the process that Historic Waco Foundation is currently undergoing, taking a look at the scope of the stories that you guys have been telling?
Well, we need to expand our focus. To expand our focus, we need to know more of the stories. You know, at this particular time, throughout the United States, history museums and history homes are losing attendance. And we want to not fall into that category of being not having attendance. So we are working, we're looking for a sustainable future. And we really want to be the storytellers of Waco's history.
Sure.
And to know those stories, we have to reach out to the community, because it's the community, not just our little group of people, that know these stories. So we put together a community group of people from different sectors. We looked at people that were faith-based, academics, businesses, nonprofits, neighborhood groups, and of course the arts. And we pulled together a small group of these people. What we specifically looked for in these community leaders were those who had no prior workings with Historic Waco Foundation.
Awesome.
And that was important to us, because this would bring a new view in.
Yeah, definitely.
And then this group took on a much larger project of putting together a community gathering of several community leaders. And we had a survey on what's important to Waco, what stories have been told, what stories have not been told, what does Waco care about. And we used the data from that and then really worked that community gathering to find out more ways that we could partner in the community, more stories that needed to be told. And that's where we are now.
Awesome. So, Cuevas, you've been a part of this group pretty much from the beginning. So can you talk about what your experience has been like in this process and kind of what role you've played in all of this?
My experience has been eye-opening in the sense that there are so many different people from Waco with a different perspective to bring to the table. I think that is amazing to know that you might know a part of East Waco history or North Waco history or South Waco history, but there's always something much more to learn. Mm-hmm. And so by being able to come out and be a part of this initial group and connecting with community leaders from various sectors, whether it be the nonprofits or city government or the arts, wherever it may be, being able to connect with them and learn of their particular piece of history in Waco has been an eye-opening, has been a great pleasure of mine. And I hope to continue to learn more about the history of Waco through these upcoming gatherings.
Yeah, awesome. So can you talk a little bit more about why you think that it's important for community leaders and you know, the wider community to be, and for people from different sectors in the community to be a part of these discussions?
We all have a different story. I think you think in East Waco, I think of Lee's Drive-In. A school teacher could see that drive-in as a place where they brought their class to learn a little bit more about the history of the community or learn more about cooking good food. But for a current business owner, that could have been their first taste of entrepreneurship. And so because we each see time differently, we each see community different, we each see our history differently, it's so important for us to come out and share it and to value each other's different perspectives.
Yeah.
And so no matter the sector.
Yeah, awesome. You're not from Waco, so I think I really appreciate whenever people who aren't from here, you know, myself included, who are able to still recognize and to be able to identify the parts of our history and, you know, the culture here that need to be told and that are underrepresented.
I agree.
So since you guys have both been, you know, going through this process and hearing the ideas and just kind of the things that are important to different community leaders here, are there any bits of Waco's history that have been talked about that you didn't realize people wanted to see more representation about or wanted to see kind of more represented by the organization?
Well, I think we all had we went into the gathering knowing that the stories of the minorities haven't been told as well as they should,
sure,
or as truthful or as full as they should. But there were little tidbits of that, like the tunnel under LaSalle,
yeah,
for the elementary kids so they could cross LaSalle. You know, I knew tidbits of that, but not that much. And I think other people would be more, you know, there are things like that that are so interesting, but also to be able to tie in, you know, this at any particular time, any particular decade, this was happening in North Waco, while this was happening in East Waco, while this was happening in South Waco. And, you know, you've got several different things happening at the same time that may or may not be connected. And to be able to bring that out and bring all of those different perspectives to the table would be really, really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing that really stood out to me and made me excited about the future is telling the story of the church, especially the African-American church, in a sense that this particular institution, they did so much to progress a people during a time where their ability to progress was limited, and how they just kind of stepped up in that particular gap. And not only did they stepped up, but they showed out. And so just hearing the role of the African-American church has played in the ongoing progression of the community is something I'm really excited to hear more about. And I think could be very beneficial to all of Waco if we were to share it.
Yeah. And Jill, I know it might be a little early in the process for you guys to know, you know, exactly what things will look like for the foundation going forward. But, you know, are there any plans that you guys have been throwing around about maybe expanding more to include, like, you know, diverse backgrounds and, you know, to tell histories of, like, you know, the African-American community in Waco or the Hispanic community, things like that? Are there any ideas that have been floating around about things like that?
Well, after the gathering, the next week or two in my office, my staff got tired of me listening to me going, oh, we could do this or we could do that. Let's go here. Let's do this. Because the ideas were so invigorating. And I do know that we do want to reach out. We have an exhibit coming up. We use East Terrace as our main exhibit area now. And there will be an exhibit beginning in February that's on debutantes. And everybody thinks, oh, debutantes, you know, that's just, mm-hmm, you know, very white, wealthy people. But no, we're really looking into the Jack and Jill balls that take place here in Waco.
Yeah.
We have reached out to that community. We're reaching out to the Hispanics about the quinceanera. So we have pictures and we are sharing all of that. It's all about how different cultures come out, how they present their young people. And I was delighted that our curator was willing to take this extra step to take it a little bit further. So we really do want to tell more stories. You know, if we're going to be the storytellers, we need to tell the stories of everybody.
Yeah.
So we need to start gathering stories.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of the things that came out were plaques around town. I think that would be a phenomenal thing for us to partner, mm-hmm, with people like Creative Waco.
Definitely.
to put up plaques. Walking with ACT Locally and their Waco walks. We did a walk Sunday through East Waco that we had more fun talking about the houses and the churches and how those churches started and how they evolved to what they are now, which businesses started there, how East Waco has grown from that was more of your Elm Street was a very prosperous business community. But there was also a lot of manufacturing on that part of town. And it went from black and white gradually until we got to the tornado, which kind of wiped out Bridge Street. Mm-hmm. And then with urban renewal and redlining, that's when East Waco became more of the population that it has now. Mm-hmm. So we throughout the walk, we talked about that.
Yeah.
The education with Paul Quinn. These things are fascinating to me. I taught on the Paul Quinn campus for 10 years and
really?
Loved being over there. I have a very, that part of town has captured my heart because there's so much history in that part of town mm-hmm. that we don't tell.
Yeah.
And we need to be telling it.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Cuevas, have there been any new ideas about how Historic Waco Foundation can tell history that you've heard that you've really liked and would love to see happen?
Well, maybe not a particular a specific idea, but I just really I'm real big on youth. I think by incorporating youth into the telling of history can go a long, long way.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, growing up, you sit through those history classes, you know, social studies classes,
and
you're already
boring.
Yeah. Very boring.
Yep.
And what I've found is that a lot of times they are boring because you don't see yourself in it.
Yeah.
And so if you can identify a way to connect yourself to that particular history, then it could go a long way in planting a seed to where you want to continue to reinvest and revitalize and come back and build your community, your Waco community. So just making sure that youth are involved in the history telling process is something I think is needed. I think something that can have a very, very tremendous impact going forward, along with making sure that all of Waco history is told and making sure that the diversity of Waco is prioritized, sharing the African-American history just as you are sharing Hispanic history. I think that's a great idea you're having with as well as the Native American history. I think that's a great idea you have in not only focusing on the traditional Debbie Tombaugh, but Jack and Jill's and Ken Sierra's, because that shows that just because it was different doesn't mean it was any less valuable or any more
right.
valuable. It was just a little bit different. And I think there's so much to learn and to see and to gain from that particular perspective. And so just focusing on youth and making sure that each and every culture is brought to the forefront is something I'm excited about. It's something I feel that can do wonders for telling the history of Waco going forward.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and as a former teacher, you know, I think the houses need to be used more by schools. We have some school groups that come through, but not near as many as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
We booked a big tour this morning, but it is, and I've done some of the tours, and our volunteers kind of look at me like I'm crazy when I do them because I get the kids all dressed up, we play, we interact. I don't necessarily go by a script, but you get the kids involved. You relate what they're seeing to what happens now. And then you start asking the whys and the hows, and you get them to thinking. And it really does. It makes history a lot more interesting than just reading or watching a video in class.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I actually just realized that I forgot to, like, say that I've been a part of this process too. And it's been a lot of fun. And when we were at the giant community event last month, I remember there was one point where someone at our table suggested assigning the kids like an entire persona where they have like a name, a fake occupation or something like that, and have them be different people who would have been in the house. So like maybe the person who owns the home and also like the person who is cooking in the kitchen, you know, that way it kind of provides a little more context for life during that time, but would also allow them to kind of insert themselves into that history, which I thought was really interesting.
I agree. I think a lot of times that when you're taught something, when something is shared with you, it may or may not stick with you, but when you are able to live it and you are able to experience it, it stays with you continuously going forward.
Definitely.
And so more experiences are needed.
Yeah, I agree with that. So this is a question that people have also been asking me. As I said, I've also been involved with this process. But why now? Why decide to reevaluate the work that's being done?
Now is because we have to be sustainable. I've got this passion for history, and I don't want this organization to go under. And There is so much going on in Waco now.
Yeah.
This is the ideal time to make changes to the organization, to expand the focus, to bring more interest into to the history of the community. We've got so many people who come from out of town. We need to be sharing what this great community is all about.
Sure. Was there anything that triggered the start of this reevaluation process, or was this just kind of something that just, you know, was going to happen eventually, and this is just the time that you decided to start with it?
I think now it's just, I don't know that there was a particular trigger,
mm-hmm.
but that knowing the national trend of decline in history, everybody is more interested in, you know, let's look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
There needs to be some way to bring more people back into what we have.
Sure.
And to be able to share the history and get people involved in history again.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you've done something one way for 50 years, and it's always time for change. And so it's just the ideal time to do it.
Yeah. So what will success look like in this process?
Success can be measured by, obviously, more attendance,
mm-hmm.
More interest, people going around town and going, oh, yeah, Historic Waco, they do this. Being able to see more school groups involved, more kiddos having an interest in history, being able to see more diversity in the house members, being able to see more diversity in our membership itself, being able to see more groups come through the houses.
Yeah.
More of everything.
Definitely. And Jill, how can the wider community get involved with the work that you're doing?
They can tell us their stories.
Perfect.
The more stories we know. We want to tell the stories, but if we don't know the stories, we can't tell them. So we have a webpage, an email that is futurehwf@gmail.com. And if people will, they can either call the office at 753-5166 and share their stories, or they can send it to that email, futurehwf@gmail.com. We welcome their stories.
Thank you so much, Jill. Thank you, Cuevas, for being here. It's been a pleasure to talk to you guys. I'm really looking forward to the you know, seeing the completion of this process and seeing where it takes our history and our community going forward.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate this.
Thank you so much.
Email futurehwf@gmail.com if you'd like to share what stories you'd like to hear told about our city. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for a recap of this program. Catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, November 23rd, where I'll share more stories of leaders from Waco's artistic and cultural community. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.